We really do want you to be able to follow along. Raise your hand high. Guys in the back, somebody, there's Brother Kevin, I'm sorry. Here's the way I look at singing Hark the Herald Angel. I may not do that, by the way, but I'm glad my brother Pat does. I may. I look at it this way, though. If Target and Walmart and some of those high-priced stores that I don't frequent at all, Kohl's, that's not so high-priced, Kohl's. Now, if they can play Christmas carols in October and have no idea what they're doing, and don't even listen, don't even probably know the words, then here's how I think. I think we, as God's people, I can sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing January, February, then the rest of the months, all the way through to December. So, once again, if you've come for organized religion, you have to go out the parking lot, turn to the right, and go down the street, because we don't have organized religion here. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about building and being fully persuaded, and not this building, not this mortar and sheetrock, but we've been building messages on God building us. And we started, our thoughts came out of Jude, I think it's verse 20 or something like that, forget now. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. And that's what this is all about. This is about, this isn't about the building.
Amen.
Okay. It's pretty. I like it. Okay, it really, it's much prettier than when the first day we walked into it. But it's not this building. It's you, the building. You, the building. So, and we took our thoughts being fully persuaded out of Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. But just to start this morning by way of introduction, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And as we turn there, I just want to say thank you. I've told you this, the ministry to me is bittersweet, because you get to know people, and then God works in their lives as He should and as He will, and they heed to that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God takes them somewhere else. And the family of God is scattered all over the face of the globe. But, and it's bittersweet, because you get close to people and you don't see them often. They really are brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got dear friends here this morning, the Silvestris, and they were part of this work for 16 years. And God chose to take them back to Ohio and start them all over again. And now Joe, for the last many years, 20-some, has pastored the Worcester Bible Church. And we don't get to see them often, you know. But it's I think Joe said it well. I was back there probably seeing Deb's mom, you know, her funeral for her brother. And he made the comment to his people that we don't text each other. Only out of absolute necessity. We don't call each other. But when we get together, it's like we never missed a beat. And I will say this to you young men. The ministry will do that to you if it's a God-ordained ministry. God will hook you up. My dear pastor that I've been with for over 20 years. You know, God puts people together. And we had 11 of our people, from Pastor through the rest of them, Margaret through the rest of them. And they, God asked them to go, and they went to the Philippines. And I won't lie to anybody. I get uneasy when the family's not together. I just do. Okay? I don't worry. Don't misunderstand me. Worry is faith in the devil. Okay? My Bible tells me I'm not supposed to worry. All right? But I like the family being together. I really do. So they were over there doing what God wanted them to do, and we were back here. We were staying by the stuff. And I want to thank every one of you, because I know you did. You prayed. You prayed. We didn't tell you how to pray. We just ask you to pray for them, about them, around them, along with Nini and Lynette and Teresita and our Filipino pastors over there and their families and their churches. And if you went to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll find a verse that says, helping together by prayer. Because sometimes you think, oh, I didn't get to go. You say, I didn't get to go. I didn't get to go this time, brother. That's okay. You know. But sometimes the devil plays with your mind, says, no, you're not important anymore. You don't get to go. And you got a host of people and everybody. I don't know how you think about things. I like being in the mix. I don't like being sitting the bench. But you know what you do when you don't get to go, you know what they were doing? They were praying for us back here. So I want to thank everybody that had to do bathroom runs like me at 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. And so you're wide awake from a bathroom run. That's what old men have to do. Didn't do that when I was 25. You're laughing at me, Lydia. Okay. You wait until you're 60. No, you don't want to be 66. You don't. Okay. You wait until you get to be an old man and you got to do bathroom runs twice a night. And so you're wide awake. And so you sit down in a chair that's in the bedroom and you just say, I start every name, Lord. I don't even know what time it is over there. I can't track that. I'm not very smart. But whatever time it is, I want you to just bless them and protect them and open their eyes to things and let them be a blessing. Don't let them be these arrogant Americans, okay? Let them be biblical servants and all that kind of good stuff. So it is good to have the team home. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's talk about building. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read a few verses from 1 Peter and before we do that, I think I'll pray right now. So let's pray, all right? Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting us know you. Thank you, Father, for providing for us that which we could not provide for ourselves. Humanity cannot save itself. It needed a provider. Men and women, boys and girls needed a Savior that would redeem them, redeem their lives, buy their lives back to save them so that they could say, it is well with my soul. For we know that life is more than this house of clay that we live in. But you've not only saved us and you've given us your Holy Spirit to live within us, by faith in Jesus Christ. You've given us your sure counsels. You didn't leave us to our own devices. Then, Lord, you redeemed our lives from destruction. You got us off of the drunk of the world, whatever our tastes might have been. You gave us a hope for this life and the life to come. You let us serve you. You let us carry your name. Lord, I get the privilege this morning again of preaching and teaching. And after all these years, I'm well aware, Father, that notes on a piece of paper do not a message make. If you're not pleased to take your own word, as you did in from my own life, just I think it was 11 words, Father, out of a verse, that day it captured me. And Lord, you know the needs, and I can't meet any of them. but I do want to be a blessing. So I'm going to ask you, as you've already promised, your word never returns void. You know what every one of us need. Maybe somebody here needs to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. There's probably the majority of us who are saved. We need to build. The foundation's been laid. Jesus Christ. The chief cornerstone was laid. Jesus Christ. But now we need to build. We need to take what you've written. And I'm glad I heard the ladies sing this morning. I'm glad, Father, that you didn't say make Jesus Christ part of your life. Like you put on a pair of shoes and then take them off. But Jesus Christ is my life today. Without Jesus Christ, I am still dead in trespasses and sins. And I am so grateful this morning that I am alive in Jesus Christ. Honor your word as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to start by reading just several verses from 1 Peter there, and then also Colossians, and then also Hebrews, because we're going to look at the principle of building. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse numbers. I'm going to read. What am I going to read? 1 through 5. I'm going to read actually 1 through 6. It says, wherefore, laying aside, and as I read this, I'm going to go back and I'm going to handpick some important words that will have to do with your building and how the character that we're going to have in order to build in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about this property. We know this. This property, we might say we're going to church today, but we should know now after all these years, I'm not going to church. I am the church. Okay, you are the church. You're the body of Christ. You know that from the scriptures. We're not going to reiterate all that. You're the body of Christ. You're His bride also. You and Jesus Christ now are one flesh. Spirit of God lives within you. You and I are the church. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, chapter 2, verse 1, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes. Now, He's trying to give you a likeness here. He's not saying be newborn babes. The word as, if you read the book of Proverbs, two words stick out in the book of Proverbs, as and like. Important you know those two words. Simple words. As means same. Like means similar. He says as. Just the same as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word that she may grow thereby. God's a builder. He's wanting you to grow. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look at verse 5 now. Ye also as lively stones. So there was this living stone, and now we're in Jesus Christ, or you need to get into Jesus Christ for salvation. You become a lively stone. Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That's great. That last phrase is great. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A lot of people talking about God, but it's not acceptable. You know why? It's not coming through Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, as I looked at this, there's some words and some phrases that just pop out to me. Laying aside. If I'm going to build, I got to lay some things aside. Amen. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take everything I've got. Laying aside. Then he says in verse 2, desire, the sincere milk of the word. I've got to have brand new desires. You have to desire to build. Houses just don't appear on a plot of ground. Somebody had a desire to start that build. Now, Jesus has already started your house. We're going to look at that. You're already a house. But He lets us build with Him. Now, this isn't something we're going to do in the flesh. He says in verse number 3, taste the Lord. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what? You know what the Bible gave me? Brand new tastes. And I've said this, the Bible's an acquired taste. You won't get it the first time you read it as a saved man or a saved woman. And this is where some people, they just give up because we live in a society that is pre-digested and, you know, you can go to Wendy's down here and you don't even have to pay. You just drive through and you got your easy pass and you don't even have to pay anymore. Now you're paying, but I won it yesterday. Right up front, let me tell you, new Christians, listen to me. This is going to take everything you've got to grow in Jesus Christ. But it is the best thing that will ever happen to you. And if somebody as stupid and as backward as I am and as uneducated as I am can get it, you intelligent people out there, you're way ahead of the curve. You can get it. But you got to have some desires. And you got to acquire a new taste because you're going to read some things, boy, that guess what? They're not our American way. And they're opposed to everything you've ever been taught in school or in college or in universities or even seminaries. Verse number 4, he says, precious. You got to learn what God deems as precious. You know the death of the saints is precious to God? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It is. That's what it says in the book of Psalms. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Okay. You see, you got to start looking at it from the eyes of God. And that doesn't come overnight. I might have got my sight in 1970 at the age of 20, but I didn't get my vision then. It took years and years and years of being in the scriptures and staying around God's people and people that did not discourage me, people that encouraged me. And I started to see things. My vision got clearer and clearer and clearer. And now 46 years later, my vision's pretty clear, but it's still, there's sometimes I still see men walking as trees. He talks about verse number 5, spiritual sacrifices. Can I take you to the book of Colossians now? Book of Colossians. Go quickly with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You say, why do you do that, Brother Pat? You think I can't find the books? No, that's not for you. That's for me. I've got to tell myself, what is that? Where's that? What does that book come after? Yeah, once again, yeah. Some people have Alzheimer's, and then many of us, after a certain age, have old-timers. Old-timers. I pray I don't get Alzheimer's. Probably won't know when I get it, but duh. You know, not making fun of anybody. Terrible thing. Terrible. Look at Colossians chapter 2. So lay aside. Go to Colossians chapter 2 with me. Lay aside desire new things. Desire the milk of the Word of God, sincere milk, that you may grow. You got to acquire new taste. You got to understand what's precious to God. The presidential election circus that's been going on, that's not going to tell you what's precious to God. Okay, it's not. You're going to vote one way or another. It's your business. Don't tell me. Don't ask me. Okay? I told you 46 years ago I put my vote in for Jesus. And the United States of America has yet to recognize my vote. But that's okay. I'm still voting for Jesus. Amen. And one day the king's going to sit on the throne. And I'm going to say, glory to God, my vote finally counted. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. Now let me just start with 4. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Forgive me for starting in the middle of a chapter. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now look at 7. Rooted and built up in him, and established, not established, but established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I see in verse 5, I've got to become steadfast. I think of 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable. When something is anchored, you must get anchored in Jesus Christ. You must get anchored in the book that we bring the church. You know, we all look good on Sunday morning. And I'm glad, we all clean up pretty nice. I shower and shave. I put on a tie. We all behave well. We bring our Bibles and we open them on Sunday morning. But did you open it on Monday? How about Tuesday? How about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? And don't wait till the next Sunday, because you're already way behind if you only got it on Sunday. If you're hanging your building on what you get from this pulpit, whether in congregational singing or specials during an offering or whoever's in the pulpit preaching, if you're waiting to get your food for the week right here, you pretty much starve to death. Because I can tell you, about 3 hours after I eat at home, guess what? My wife calls me a grazer. There's only two of us. So we don't have to cook for the kids, and the grandkids are all down south, and we got nobody to cook for but her and I. And she makes food. She's a wonderful cook, always has been. But she'll say, what are you hungry for? I'm not hungry, baby. You don't need to cook anything. But then as soon as I say that, I'm in the refrigerator getting a piece of bologna and a chunk of cheese. And she'll say, I thought you weren't hungry. I said, well, I'm not hungry. She'll say, but you're a grazer. It's like wherever the good grass is at, that's where the cow goes. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but you got to get into the Word of God. And I want to say it one more time. Psalms and Proverbs, that's only two of 66 books. And I know you're reading. I know you are, because I listen to some of you guys pray. And you can't pray the way you're praying without having read the book. Because you read the book, guess what? It's going to start to come out of you. It's just an automatic thing. You fill the vessel with water enough, and you know what happens? The vessel starts to overflow. But you can't fill the vessel halfway with water and then turn the spigot off. Colossians, he talks about being steadfast, established in the faith. Get stable in Christ Jesus. Man, I look at Christianity today, and I'm going to be honest with you. If I wasn't saved already, I would not want to get saved. Because I think Christians today are the biggest, it's a junk. It's junk food. It's not a good steak. I can find junk food anywhere. It's like, wait a minute, that's what Christianity is supposed to be? What happened to Jesus Christ? Amen. You're talking about your children, you're talking about fixing your marriage. I'm all for that. You know why I like to read the old timers? Like Jonathan Edwards, Andrew Murray, amen. All those old timers, I get stuck on those two. You cannot speed read those guys. They were not trying to fix your marriage, even though it needs fixed. Mine too. They were not trying to fix your children. They were not trying. You know what they were trying to do? They were trying to fix your soul. Because if you get Jesus Christ in the right place, and He has the preeminence and the prominence in your life, you want to know something? You know what I found? Other things begin to take shape correctly. Amen. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm talking about building. Every one of those verses had building in it. Years ago, Grandma Hutter and the Hutter children, by different names now, you will remember an old German fellow down in the Amboy Road in Pleasant Plains town down here. He was the shoemaker. When we first moved down here into the Red House, it's no longer there, and then the other, He used to take my shoes. He had been there forever and a day. I loved him because you walked in there and he had classical music playing all the time. But I got to talking to him one day. Joe and Karen probably remember the guy. Got to talk to him one day, dropped my shoes off, a pair of boots, get rehealed, resold. And we just got talking about being a shoemaker. Now you think a shoemaker, that's not really a high-end job. Do you know how many years he spent in apprenticeship in Germany? Over 10. As an apprentice. Not as a journeyman. Not as a master mechanic. He had spent over 10 years as an apprentice just to become a shoemaker. A guy that we look at today, people that buy shoes today, throw them away. Not unless they're $1,000 shoes, then you might get them resold. And if you can afford $1,000 shoes, I want to talk to you, all right? But this thing, God's interested in building. If I want to be a strong Christian, it's going to take time. And here's what I'm going to tell you right up front. You young people have just gotten saved, or some of you older people in here have gotten saved recently. This doesn't come in a day. And you never stop building. God's always either remodeling a room in your life, and it's absolutely wonderful. Because he'll just knock on your door one day and say, I think you're too full of pride. I'm going to give you a message in a car dealership on humility. You mean I got to remodel the room? Yeah, because I love you. And I want you to have a full reward. I want you to have a full reward. So I want you to remodel. He didn't tell me to pass out more tracts. He didn't tell me to study harder. He didn't tell me to sing better. He said, listen, you got a problem with pride. You don't even know it. So you don't even know what you need today. I went to get my car fixed. When I go in there, I'm not this great conversationalist with people. Just fix my car. Let me pay the bill and get out. You know what God says? God says, slow your horse down, boy. Amen. You have a need today. So this building goes on and on and on. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Or no, not Colossians. Stay there. I apologize. Hebrews chapter 3. Just start with verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, meaning his family, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But look at verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast, don't worry about the ifs there. We're in the book of Hebrews. We won't get into all the doctrine of that. But look, grab a hold of the principle here. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. I am a house. I am to hold fast the confidence. I am to stay firm unto the end. Now, that's just by way of introduction. Let me ask you something. Here's, because I like to ask myself questions. How are we to do this building? Me. Not this building so much. So try to keep your mind from going to property. It says, whose house are we? So am I, that might tell you something about John chapter 14, when Jesus told his disciples, in my Father's house are many mansions. That might tell you about those houses and mansions. Has nothing to do with property. You know who those mansions are? Am I a mansion today? Am I a mansion? Or am I a shack? Because you see, if I stop building, and if I stop upgrading the house, here's also what I realized about homes. If you don't live in a home, if a home is empty, if a house is empty, you know what happens to it? It goes to decay. You must put something in your house. And we're not talking about the furnishings. We'll get to that maybe somewhere down the line. But are we, here a question I'm going to start with. Are we to solicit help in building, in this building project? Now, we're not talking about buildings again. But remember in the book of Psalms, I think it's 127, it says, except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. So the Lord's building the house. Talks about bearing precious seed, talks about weeping. But my question is, and I want you to go to Ezra, because we're going to answer this question in the book of Ezra. Go to Ezra. Find the Chronicles that you have where all the jam and the peanut butter is because you don't like to read them. You know what? I get some of my richest reading out of Chronicles. Kings. Oh man, it's rich. I hope you read your Old Testament. Because remember what we've taught here? The Old Testament, go to Ezra. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. So everything you read about in that New Testament, it got concealed. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. But the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Okay? You get some of your greatest principles of living. People. Get beyond guys like Sennacherib and people, names that, I often wonder, why couldn't he have said Pat or Mike or Chris or whatever, a simple name? Why names that have 18 letters in them? I don't get that, okay? All right, go to Ezra. Are we to solicit help in the building of this project? And I'm going for a point here. And I'm going to answer it from the book of Ezra. Now, Ezra has been commissioned by the king of Persia, Cyrus. God has actually worked through a lost man, Cyrus, after the Babylonian captivity had ended, the 70 years, which you'll find in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 21. And now Ezra is commissioned to rebuild the foundations and the temple and to restore the law and the doing of the law, which we would commonly call the ritual. So he begins to build, and there's a remnant. There's not the millions of Israelites that once was. He's down to, if you read chapter 3 or chapter 2, verse 64 and 65, that whole number there, let me just put it this way, it's just a little bit under 50,000, so it's a remnant. It's just, and I have a heading in my Bible that says the post-captivity books, which Ezra is one, deal with a feeble remnant which alone had a heart for God. So the majority of the Israelites, they were happy. Now, they were Israelites. It's like being Christians today. They were happy to be Israel, but they had learned to live in captivity. They actually began to prosper in the countries that they were taken into. But there was a feeble number of those Israelites in the book of Ezra that decided they were going to live for God. They were going to build. Now, it is a physical temple in the Old Testament. We know that. But in the New Testament, you and I are likened to a temple by Paul and a tabernacle by Peter. So where once the people went to the temple or the tabernacle, now the tabernacles and the temples go to the people. That's why we go around the world like we do. That's why this church was started. That's why there's a church in Worcester, Ohio. That's what is supposed to be done. The ministry is boiled down to two things. Love God and love people. Everything else is unimportant. Amen. Really. I know some of our guys are a little perplexed. What would we do if we lost this building? We'd continue. That's what we would do. Right, Brother Mike? Pastor Mike? We'd continue. You say, how would we continue? I don't have a clue. That's God's business. What would we do at Sunday school? I don't know. You're worrying over stuff that you don't need. Think about that. You say, but we have to have Sunday school. We have to have a van. We have to have a parking lot. We do? I thought the ministry was boiled down to two things. Love God and love people. Now, if God gives you other things, that's good. But these guys just came back from the Philippines, and I can tell you what, they don't have one-tenth of what we have in America that we think is important. And they're building Christians. They're building Christians. And it takes time. And they don't have our money. Oh God, we have to have money. Go to chapter 4. Look at verses 1 through 5. Are we to solicit help in this building project that God... Where am I supposed to get my building codes from? Where am I supposed to get my materials from? I'm not talking about this building again. I'm talking about you and I. Because somebody wanted to help Ezra rebuild that temple. Get to chapter 4. Okay, the temple foundations got laid. At the end of chapter 3, there were some old-timers around there that had seen the first temple. And it was magnificent. And this temple wasn't as... You read, I think it's Haggai, chapter 2. Because it talks about those old-timers crying. And some of them wept, and some of them just really was rejoicing. But some of them did weep because they had seen the first temple. And the first temple was glorious. And God was going to rebuild something kind of like on the run. Solomon's long dead, and all those other kings, and now it got down to Ezra. But he's going to build. He's decided to build. And you know what he wants? Some people want to help him. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries, notice that word to begin with. Notice the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple under the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. Here's what some of your friends maybe are telling you. You don't need that Bible. You come to my church. We'll give you this and this and this. And oh, we may open the Bible and we may use it a little bit. But if you're going to grow in Jesus Christ, watch this. Let us build with you, for we seek your God. As ye do. Now watch. Look, notice those three words. As ye do. We seek your God. Now these were adversaries, by the way. Remember we read that, verse 1? Let us build with you. So let us build with you. Let us help you. So somebody comes along and says, you're happy about getting saved. And all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, yeah, but you need something else. Did you speak in tongues yet? You need to come to my meeting on Friday night. Forget about that Sunday morning. Wait, you don't need those people, a bunch of crazies. You come to our church, we'll give you 43 steps and a buck. And you'll start to get all right. Everybody wants to help. Now Israel had gotten into a bad way with the world, pagan nations helping them in every facet. Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. Now notice what a guy named Esarhaddon. Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, Asher. His daddy was a guy by the name of Sennacherib. And you go back into 2 Kings 19 and you'll find Sennacherib. And Sennacherib got into a position, he was king, and his two sons killed him. And Esarhaddon was the third son, and he took over the kingdom. Now, that whole storyline goes back just under 200 years of this happening. So for just under 200 years, and probably many more than that, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. We do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, or Assyria, which brought us up hither. So Israel had been seeking help in the building. Well, I read my Bible. Let me throw this out to you. I am watching my watch. Doesn't mean a thing, but I'm watching my watch. I'm watching TV the other day. And I have a tendency to, I can only take certain things so long, so I channel surf. And it's like a strobe light. You know, drives my wife crazy, I know it does. Because I'm continually going, zip, zip, zip. I watch 2 minutes of this and 4 minutes of that. So I'm watching football games and I'm watching politics and I'm watching this. I'm watching a channel. And you know, the United States is trying to legalize marijuana. And I think Colorado, a couple of the New England states, and a few other states are legalizing marijuana. And though everybody's working, we're all, as a nation, we're working toward that. So I'm watching this thing, and it's one of those journalistic documentaries. And I see people with Bible, reading the Bible. They're talking about being saved. And they're in a living room. And I'm watching it. Now, I'm going to call it, you know those big, I know some of you are former drug addicts. They call it a bong. Yeah, you're laughing at me already. I can tell you about vodka, I just don't know about bongs, okay? But no, I'm only kidding. But they're reading their Bibles. They're reading their Bibles, honest to God. I say that reverently. They're reading their Bibles and they're passing the bong around. Big glass thing coming up. I just put some of you on a high. I know I did. You need to get away from it. You need to start building. You need to grow up. Come on. Stop playing. You're going to stand beside some of those Filipinos at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're not going to win, place, or show. And it grieves me, and I pray, I got to get my life right, bro. I got to get my heart right. So they're reading their Bible, and they're talking about Jesus. And they're condemning. She says, you know, we're in our church. And do you know there's a church now called the Church of the Cannabis? Yeah, it's in Rhode Island, by the way. Church of the Cannabis. Do you know what they call their Bible? They call their Bible the Stoner's Bible. Yeah, forget about the NIV and whatever else down the, you know, the perverted line. It's called the Stoner's Bible. So now you don't. She said, I don't go to the brick and mortar church anymore, meaning the building. She said, we meet in our living room. And we talk about the Bible, and they're reading the Bible. It's not the Bible, but but they're reading about the Lord and the crucifixion, and and they're stoned out of their minds. You going to build? World will tell you to build. Let me help you build. They walked out into the field and they're talking about, you know, God, and hey, I can walk out into a field. You know how you get to God? You don't get to God by a sunset. You don't get to God by that tree out in the front of our church. That's the most, when that thing starts to turn orange, it's drop dead gorgeous. You don't get to God by that tree. You get to God by Jesus Christ. God the Father comes through God the Son, and you got God the Son through the Holy Spirit of God who now lives within you. Amen. And you know where I got all that information? I didn't get it like that. I'd suck my lungs out doing that. Good night. I wouldn't make a good stoner, I tell you. Now look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 3. Before you look at verse number... Yeah, I'm going to read verse number 3. And then we're going to go... I showed this to my brother. I sat in my chair that day. I'm watching this. And I'm watching it. And you know how you used to say things are crazy? And then I had to change that word. Because things got so crazy, you couldn't even, you found, you and I bald head, brother. I found myself just trying to find my hair all the time. It got bizarre. But then as I looked at that, I looked over at Debbie and I said, baby, these people are mad. Remember that word. I'm going to show you what God did to Israel. Let me go back here. I'm running rabbit trails and I'm terrible that way. Look at verse number 3. We're still in Ezra. They want to help. They want to help build. So you only, some of you young Christians in here, there's going to be a whole bunch of people saying, no, I think it should be done this way. And I think it should be done that way. And let me help you build. And you come here and we tell you, read the book, read the book, read the book. Stay around God's people, read the book. And if anybody discourages you in this place, you get away from them. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're intent on discouraging anybody, I got news for you. When you're coming up this aisle, I'm going down that aisle. Because I can discourage myself in a heartbeat all by myself. I don't need you to help me. Look at verse number 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Ezra, starting the whole thing. You that just recently got saved, maybe it's a day ago or a month ago or a year ago. You know what God's done to you? He started you over. It's called the new birth. You say, explain it to me. I can't. I can show you verses, but here's all I know. When God does something, you can't even try to explain it. Now, you remember about the word mad? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is an answer to a rabbit trail that I just ran. I used to call people crazy. Situations crazy. And then I said, I think I'm going to stop using the word crazy and I'm going to start using the word bizarre. But then after I watched the Church of the Cannabis... And the Stoner's Bible? Yeah. Yeah. I won't even tell you what channel it is because it's so stupid. You know, there's our... I know my grandchildren were taught, don't use the word stupid. I apologize to moms and dads. But there are some things that are just flat stupid. I looked at Debbie and said, you know what? Those people are mad. Our nation is mad. Mad. Trying to find specialized bathrooms for transsexuals. That's coming down from the President of the United States. We're mad. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at verse 28. God's told Moses, you write this, that you tell the children of Israel, if you'll do what my word tells them to do, I'll bless you. And if they don't do what my word tells you to do, I'll curse you. Now look at verse 23. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. Well, my heaven's not brass, but I can tell you for sure the White House's is. You say you shouldn't get on politics. I didn't. I'm just observing. But you know what the Church of Jesus Christ has turned into? madness. Madness. Heaven that is over thee, thy head shall be brass. Verse 23, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. He says, I'll turn your rain of thy land to powder and dust. Now, just for the sake of time, jump down to 28. I started to read this and I said, oh, Lord of God, I found a gem. I didn't even know what I was saying. You know what the Lord smote Israel with? Read it. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. That's not a good thing, by the way. You know what? Israel got to a point where she had decided, I am going to build any way I want to build. And God ended up saying, I'm going to smite you with madness. Can I take you back to Ezra chapter 3? That's my rabbit trail for the day, I think. Ezra has been commanded. Ezra has been commanded to build. But here's what I want you to see. Go to Ezra chapter 3. Do you know what God wants you to build? The first thing in your life as a saved person? I find it in Ezra chapter 3. It says, and when the seventh month, which would be our October, was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities. Now they have been commanded to build the temple, foundation and temple. But we need to see, okay, we are the temple. The foundation's already been laid in Jesus Christ. The cornerstone's already been laid that governs the foundation and the rest of the building, so it's straight, so it's plumb. That cornerstone is Jesus Christ. But now, after all of that, where do I start my building? I've just realized I'm not supposed to solicit anybody's help. That would take me beyond the boundaries of the Holy Bible. He says, and when the seventh month, in verse number 1 of 3, was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren. Now look what they builded. And builded an altar. An altar of God, of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon, because of the people of the countries. They offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. The simple thing to see here, the very first thing in Ezra's commission to rebuild, the very first thing Ezra knew by restoring the temple and the law and the offerings, that he was restoring Israel's worship. The very first thing that you and I need to restore as saved people, there must be an altar inside the temple. You must realize what sacrificed. There was a brazen altar in that tabernacle, and there was an altar of incense. If you go back to Genesis chapter 22, don't go there. That's the story of Abraham and Isaac. And in verse number 5, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That was the first time the word worship was used in your Bible. First time. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And then in verse 9, he says, and laid him, meaning Isaac, on the altar upon the wood. The first thing you need to develop in your life is an altar. An altar where you remember that Jesus Christ died for you and I. An altar, then beyond, it's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of service. But when you moved through the tabernacle and you went from the laver type of the word of God, the cleansing, priest washed dirty hands, looked down into through the water and he saw the looking glass of the women like mirrors. It was a reflection. He began to see his condition. When he went into the tabernacle proper, he had the table of showbread. He had the candlestick. So he had sustenance. And he had light. All a type of Jesus Christ. All a type of this book. And then he went right before the veil. With the mercy seat. With the ark and the mercy seat behind the veil. Right before that veil was an altar of incense. The fire was taken from the brazen altar. And put there. No strange fire. One place was a place of sacrifice and service. That brazen altar, sacrifice and service. But once you got to the altar of incense, that was a place where there was a, Bible talks, and we'll talk about it just briefly, a savor, a sweet smell. Do you know our lives are supposed to give off an odor? Our lives are supposed to be an aroma of God. Our church as a whole is supposed to, we're not supposed to stink. We're supposed to have a sweet smell. If you go back, and we won't go there, but if you go to Genesis chapter 4, the first building, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 17, talks about Cain building a city. This is the same Cain who slew his brother Abel. He brings the wrong offering. He slays his brother Abel. He moves God to curse him and his lineage. He builds a city. And God didn't recognize it. See, there are things that God will recognize. We must find out what God recognizes in the building of a Christian. Then you move on to Genesis chapter 11 and verses 1 through 9. You don't have to go there. Where now you have the Tower of Babel. And it talks about, let us make brick. And we have brick for stone. Talks about in verse 4, we're going to build a city and we're going to build a tower and we're going to have a name. This city produced three things. And I find in the building of our temples, there's at least three things that I've got to get out of my life. Now I want you to notice, and I brought a little illustration this morning. I want you to notice they were making this building. They had brick for stone. Brick for stone. Because every altar that God recognized was not made out of brick. It was made out of stone. But I find at least three things in this city. Number one, this city produced three things. It produced pride. So I've got to get off my pride wagon. Self-sufficiency. We live in a selfie. You want to take selfies? It's your business. I got caught in one. Bobby Bowman caught me in a selfie. And I was too afraid to jump off of the wave runner to mess him up, so I stayed on the wave runner. Pride. Pride has a king, Job 41. He's a king, Leviathan. He's a king over the children of pride. I can do this by my... You will not grow in Jesus Christ on your own. You will not. It takes this book... And it takes the help of God's people pointing you to a book. But it is this book and this book alone. You do not need any other thing to grow in Jesus Christ. This book is the basis of it all. What we do in here, this is wonderful fellowship. But if this fellowship gets away from Jesus Christ, I'm finding a new fellowship. our fellowship, our fun, our activities, our harvest fest, it must all be related and hinge on the foundation. Everything we do has to be for Jesus' sake. And I can have fun. You can jump out of planes for Jesus' sake. I don't know why anybody would want to jump out of a plane, but these two did. Thank God they survived. I told him before he jumped, day before, I said, if you think I'm pastoring this church by myself, you need to rethink that one. You need to rethink it. All right? Just wanted him to know where my heart was at. You better come back alive, brother. Then you get to Genesis chapter 11, as we said. They were going to build with brick. Brick for stone. The city produced pride. It produced promotion. It produced a preeminence, a name. Pride, promotion. You know what Christians want to do today? Don't we? Now, don't get mad at me. We always want to promote ourselves. I brought something. That's a brick. You know where I got this brick? Joseph Estrie's backyard. He got a bunch of them. He built a sidewalk out of them for his wife. Every time I went back, I thought, these are just great-looking bricks. This is a big brick. I've got four of them on my front porch. They're heavy. You know what I noticed about bricks? They're all uniform. Okay? But you know what these bricks have? They've got a name on them. You know what the manufacturer wants to do? He wants to show off his bricks. Granite. Akron, Ohio, block. But you know what? God's not interested in our pride. That's a nice brick, by the way. That's a nice brick. I'm proud of that brick. I am. It's been cut by somebody's graving tool. Do you know that Jesus Christ told us never to put our graving tools to his altars? Now, can I take you to Genesis chapter 8? Because I do want you to see this. So a man built a city. And people build a tower. They build a city, a tower, and got a name. What am I supposed to do in my building? I've got to find out what God honors. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. The flood has resided. Noah has the face of the ground now is dry. Genesis 8:13. And I want you to look at verses 20 and 21. Because you know there's God-approved building. Genesis chapter 4, Cain building that city that was not God-approved. Genesis chapter 11, those people got together and they built a city and a tower and got a name that was not God approved. But all of a sudden, God takes a man and his family and saves them. Puts them in an ark, a type of Jesus Christ, and saves them. They were in that ark for a long time. If you really do the math, sometimes we don't remember how long it was. They got saved. Now look at Genesis chapter 8 and verses 20 and 21. Now that man, in verse number 16, says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, thy sons and thy sons' wives. And he brings every living creature out. And verse 18 says, and Noah went forth and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. So now the ark is being emptied out. And look at verse number 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, took of every clean beast, every clean fowl, offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord, look at verse 21. See, once again, you got to find out what God likes to smell. Now, I don't know if you've ever really smelt a burning animal or burning flesh. We're not talking about that steak that you buy at whatever, wherever. And I'm talking about something caught on fire. It's like singeing the hair on your arm. That doesn't smell good at all. But you know what God said here? That altar to God, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground. And he goes on and on. But I want you to see right there that he said, I am going to... Noah, the very first thing he built was an altar. That all those sacrifices would typify Jesus Christ. We know that. So you, in your building, you must find Jesus Christ in every facet of building. You must find. There's nothing that this world, and I've got to get away from a few things. They were never to build with brick. Remember when Israel was in captivity? Back there in Exodus chapter 5. There's a phrase that says, the tale of the bricks. It's like the story of the bricks. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 65 with me. Isaiah chapter 65. You know, we are... Lord willing, next Sunday, we will celebrate 41 years of being a local church. The Lord's been good. And my pastor says it well. Yes, God uses human instruments. But you want to know something? Every one of the human instruments that God has ever used in this place, we are flawed. This place does not exist here because of any man. Does he use human instruments? Yes, he does. But please, young men and young women and old men and old, don't ever think God needs you. God one time in the book of John said, if you don't tell the story, I'll make the stones cry out. And there has been building that has gone on in those. Every once in a while, the building got kind of interrupted at one point in our history. It got a little interrupted. Because the building, during a certain time, which we won't go into, we tried to do some things with brick instead of the stones of the altar. And God was gracious. And he moved us through that. And a pastor from within us was chosen again. And those of us who God asked us to just keep helping. And let me say this to you, since things just come into my mind. Don't ever get beyond the place of helping. Just help. Amen. Help. Amen. Help. If you are prone to cigarettes still, and you seem it necessary to throw your cigarette butts in the parking lot, do me a favor. Help God and pick them up. Help. You say, I'm above that. Then you're not a servant and you're not worth shooting. Because if this place ever gets beyond just helping one another, help by prayer. God has let us be here in order to not build a building, good night, look at it, to build Christians. But Israel, that tale of the bricks, where did they get that idea of the bricks from? Pride? Prominence? Let me put my name on the front of everything. Let me be somebody. That's not God. That's Pharaoh. Israel got caught in the tail of the bricks in Egypt. But here's what happened because they got caught in it. Remember, you can take the boy out of Brooklyn, but you can't take Brooklyn out of the boy. I think Brother Chris knows well about that. He still lives in Brooklyn. We say that. God took Israel out of Egypt. But he had a very difficult time taking Egypt out of Israel. And let me go and show you what happened. Instead of them worshiping at altars of stone, go to Isaiah 65 and we'll quit. Now, it's a portion where they're speaking to the remnant, and it's getting close, obviously, 66 chapters, so he's very close to the end. He says, I am sought in verse 1, number 1. Isaiah 65, 1. I'll read 1, 2, and 3 and stop. I am sought of them that ask not for me. Think about what that he just said there. I am sought of them that ask not of me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. That's Israel. Which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Now watch 3. A people that provoketh me to anger continually. He's talking to Israel here. To my face. That sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Do you know what Israel had done? They went from a tail of the bricks. That had been put on them. Do you know the philosophy of everything that we have around us? It's constantly bombarding us. It's constantly pressing in. But here's what we can't do. We can't be dictated by society and not be dictated by the Savior. We must be dictated by the Savior. So if I'm going to build, I should not build with altars of brick. Every time he used an altar, he said it was an altar of stone. And he said, don't lay your hand upon it or you're going to pollute it. You're going to pollute it. So in this process of building that we've been working at, I just want you to see this morning, the first thing that needs to be built in our lives is an altar. A place, a physical altar? Nah, not like what we call up here. But way down deep inside of you where the Spirit of God dwells, you've got to worship at that altar. Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. That's where you're building. Some of you have just gotten saved. That's where your building needs to start. You must start at the altar of this book. Not built with bricks. Laid with a cornerstone. Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.